What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast. Your host, hey, Mr. Kane. It is Wednesday, March 15th. Hey, beware the Ides of March, my friends. Beware the Ides of March. Luckily, we don't have anybody... We don't have anybody named Julius. Oh, actually, that's not true. We do. We have Julius Randle. Julius Randle likely to be stabbed multiple times by his comrades, the Lakers, here on the court. Strangely enough, he will probably be wearing a toga as well. But that makes a lot of sense in my mind. Julius Randle kind of a bum this season. Luke Walton. Julius Randle. He's a stay away for the Ides of March narrative. Anyway, all right, that was a little bit of a deep dive, a little bit Shakespearean. Former English teacher here, guys. Apologies. This is, of course, the NBA DFS podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. And in the next hour, we will preview the night to come in the NBA. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. We'll break down the players on the slate. Huge 10-game slate. 5-game slate last night. Man. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm not the only one that feels that way about it. It was another one of those nights, a lot like Monday, where, like, if you had a few of the guys that went off, you were fine, or one of the guys, you know. But like, everybody had Westbrook. We had to, first of all, that was like bottom line, you had to have Westbrook. Okay, had to have Westbrook. If you had Draymond, then with Westbrook you were fine. If you had Boogie, for example, you were fine. But if God, if you had Portland people in your lineup, disaster. Honestly, it was a night to learn about lineup construction and what's safe and what's risky. And we're going to talk about that in the lineup preview, because there are some really good lessons to learn about not taking too much risk on in your lineups, which is something that I did. I ran out three lineups yesterday rather than I'm usually a one lineup guy. But I ran out three yesterday because of the small slate and the weird variance and only cashed one, and it was the one that was the most balanced. And so there's lessons to be learned there. Before we get into the player breakdown, I want to give a couple before we get into the night, give a couple shout outs to folks out there getting some cash, getting some really nice notifications here via Twitter every time we see people getting back into the cash. Of course, my friend of the podcast, my man, DFS Spectre, getting in there. Track Nation, well done, sir. Billy Bob, hey, good. Covered up there. Got some green going. Of course, Jay Rossi, man. Buddy, keep rolling, dude. You're doing good work. Really good work. Continues to cash. New listener, AB and 50, at least new to me. Welcome aboard, man. Good cash. Well done. And my man, Loco, my fan forecast man. Oh, Colin, by the way. Good job, Colin. My man, fan forecast man, Loco. We were talking via DM and he was just like, dude, I need to get back. I need to get right. I'm on a cold streak. And I was like, all right, we're going to get this for you, brother. We are going to get this for you. Let's figure this out. Luckily we did. Clay coming through for him at the end there. Late hammer. Boom. Clay Thompson, who basically, for the record, is now playing just as good as Steph Curry. So Steph birthday narrative, he hits 43 on the head, just like he had done in previous years, just like he does all the time, which isn't quite where you need him to be. But hey, you'll take it. All right. Before we go into everything else, we've gotten through our shout outs, but let's go ahead into the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay. So, you know, like I said, I'm not really a three lineup guy. and it stresses me out to roll out three lineups. I like to commit to one solid lineup, and then I play it up through all the way from my 50-50s all the way up through my multipliers and into my GPPs. I don't know why. It's just my process. That's what I prefer to do in NBA. I don't do that for NFL, but I do that for NBA. So let's talk. I mean, a couple of these lineups really suffered from one particular lineup really suffered from being overweight on value guys, right? Value guys who just did not perform. Guys like Mo Harkless just absolutely destroyed people last night. You know, interestingly enough, we all jumped off Timothy Luau-Cabarrot because of the news about Covington, but he was fine. He ended up being fine. He ended up getting minutes at the shooting guard, something to pay attention to for the record. You know, I think it's something to pay attention to that he's basically now the starting, starting two in that system. So, you know, finished one line at 273, finished one line at 254. You know, and Sean Kilpatrick killed me. He was another value guy that absolutely destroyed you. But let's talk about this. Here's a couple things that I did. I thought that went well. Okay. So in the one line, in one lineup, when I had Westy, Curry, Crab, Crawford, Roberson, Marcus Morris, interestingly enough, don't often play him, but he kind of fell to me. Enes Kanter, Rashawn Holmes, and DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I said that, you know, at the core of what I was going to do tonight, it was going to be a Pachulia, it was going to be Holmes, it was going to be Crawford, and then TLC. But ultimately, TLC, you know, got bumped. Wish I had kind of stayed on him, because I pivoted over to Crab, and that was just it was chasey, and it was stupid, and it was dumb, and it was everything that you're not supposed to do in DFS, but it was easy, because he was right there. So Holmes did great. Pachulia did nothing, which is unbelievable, considering it's the worst rebounding team in the NBA. He only is able to get 5 rebounds. You know, I don't know what to say about that, but Josh Fern pointed out, really good point. Well, the reason that it happened that way is because Draymond slides over to the 5 and they play small ball. Oh, right. Yeah, that's why. They don't play traditional centers. So Fern was absolutely right about that. And of course, Draymond goes for 60. But anyhow, the point being about the first lineup, had finding more balance and not going too deep into the value section really was what you had to do. And a weird night like that, where value guys just didn't work out, you have to build out a floor, right? You have to build out a floor, and you have to say, okay, I'm not going to take too many risks here. I'm going to make sure that my floor is safe, and I'm going to target guys who I know are capable of hitting 5X or 6X. And, you know, that to me is kind of one of the dangers of, you know, going with too much value in your lineup. You get tempted by studs, too many value plays, you get too risky. And it's funny, you know, on Twitter, people are always asking me about lineup. What do you think about this guy? And it's all these 4K guys, and it's just from a lineup construction point of view. And this is what I was talking about with Loco last night when we were trying to get him back out of that slump. You want to take studs who are safe, studs who are in great situations, 1, max 2. 2 if they're priced well, or if their situation is too good to turn down, okay? 1, max 2. And this is, you know, for cash games, by the way. Like GPPs, you want to try to take chances on value guys all the time. 1, maximum 2. And then you pair them with a strong value play in the 4K to offset their costs, because let's say you have 6.6K per position, right? More or less. Well, if you take a value play that's $4,000 and a stud that is $10,000, okay, there you're at a $14,000 total. Divide that in two. On average, you're spending $7,000 per player, and you're allowed to continue to spend in about that median range throughout the rest of your lineup. You don't have to go too low or too high. And so, you know, we're looking for one solid stud and some good value plays, and then in the median range there for the rest of what we're doing. And in the median range, you're looking for guys who are in the 5Ks who can hit 30, and in the 6Ks who can go above 35 and 40 points. And I mean, I think that that's really kind of the most reasonable way to think about it, right? When you're rostering a guy in the 5K range, is he going to get 30 tonight? Or is that a reach for him? You're rostering a guy in the 7K range, can he get me 40 tonight? Or is that a reach for him? You know, and that's kind of how you logically construct the lineup. And this is what, you know, when I was talking to Loco, there's two things I said. First of all, you need to get your money in 50-50s. Sometimes when you're on a cold streak, you just have to get into green to reassure yourself that you can do this and you can get into green. Get into 50-50s. Go overweight on 50-50s. You have a 50% chance of cashing. It's the highest cash rate that there is available to you in anything. And I always say go 50-50s rather than head-to-heads, because on a head-to-head, you have more variance and you only need to beat one person. That's true. But if you get a sharp and you get a sharp on a good night, then you could really be hurting yourself. So a 50-50, put your money in 50-50s, fine. Make sure that you have balanced studs who are in good positions, secure studs. You know their usage is great. Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, whatever the case may be. You know their minutes are secure. And you go one value guy who maybe isn't even a bench player. Maybe he's just a guy who, you know, is low cost. An Andre Roberson. You know he's going to get 30 minutes, 25 to plus 30 minutes. And then you fill in really solid options throughout. And, you know, and you use your logic. And that's a good bounce back strategy, guys. So, you know, if you're on a cold streak, DM me. Let's talk. I mean, because it doesn't have to be that way. We can figure this out. And that's the tilt. If you're on a cold streak, it tilts you and you make weird decisions and they don't always work out. So let's get right here and let's start by diving into the games tonight. Okay, so 10 games, like I said. First game of the night, Dallas at Washington. 207 total here. Washington favored by 7 at home. Finally back home after that big road trip. Injury things that we are keeping an eye on are mostly on the Dallas side of the ball. Nerlens Noel says he's going to play. Wesley Matthews is a game time decision. We got to keep an eye on the Wesley Matthews news, because that really changes a lot on this slate, to be completely honest with you. Charlotte at Indiana, 204 total in this one. Pacers favored by 2 at home. Should be a tight game. These guys just played last week in a pretty tight game. Paul George and Kemba Walker had excellent games. We've already got Nick Batum ruled out because of those migraines that he's been dealing with. So, hey, fire up your Jeremy Lambs. We definitely love attacking Indiana on the perimeter. So, no problem with that. Minnesota at Boston. Boston favored by 6 at home. Boston coming off that road trip, finally back home. You know, they got some rest. We have no serious injuries to keep in mind here. Both teams looking at full strength, but some interesting rotation issues in a priced up Ricky Rubio. I'm not in a priced down Andrew Wiggins. I think the only, we'll talk about it. New Orleans at Miami, 205 total here. Miami favored by 6 in this one at home. Interesting fantasy game. It's interesting to me that Vegas thinks that Miami's favored by this much. But it makes sense because Miami's just defensively sound. They're much more defensively sound than New Orleans is. Jazz at Detroit. This is an interesting matchup. This would be like the slowest game in the world. 199 total. Can't even break 200. I mean, that's kind of a red flag. Stay away. Now, at the same time, GPP viable, because everybody goes, ugh, 199 total. Get out of here. So, you know, I don't know. it's not really a game that I'm targeting at all, especially not for cash games. Memphis at Chicago, 201 total here. Another super low total, two low-paced teams. You know, you kind of have some names in here that you like, but really you don't have a game script that you really like. Priced up players all around. You know, you got a high-priced Rajon Rondo, a high-priced Mike Conley, a high-priced Jimmy Butler. It just doesn't really interest me that much. So, you know, no serious injuries to consider in this one. Everybody should be healthy. We see the normal rotations, even though the Bulls' rotations are anything but normal because no one can make up their mind about who they want to play. Lakers at Rockets. Woo! 235 total here. Rockets favored by 17. Massive total, massive pace, massive blowout. Three quarters, man. Three quarters. Who can hit value in three quarters? That is the question. You know, I don't know what to say about this game. I don't think I'm going to really be targeting it, to be completely honest with you. I'm not going to be targeting players who are above 5K. How's that? You want guys who are in good positions to succeed, but I don't really want to take a guy who's only going to play three quarters. Like, I'm not going to take it. I'm not touching Harden, even though it's really an appealing matchup. I'm not touching Harden. I'm probably not touching D'Angelo. So, you know, below 5K. 5K and below is my mark for targeting Rockets or Lakers. Portland at San Antonio, 208 total here. San Antonio favored by 11. Thinking about this one, this is interesting. You know, we don't know who's going to be available for point guard, so we could have Patty Mills. But we did just get news that LaMarcus Aldridge is back. Huh, that's good. He's back. He's going to play tonight. He's healthy, so gets rid of our David Lee love, which means I'm going to have to make some changes to the show lineup because I was under the impression that we would have no LaMarcus Aldridge. But I will do that before we get to that session in the program. On the Portland side of the ball, I don't know, man. Do you trust Portland right now? Yusuf Nurkic, 6 points last night. Oof. Mo Harkless, 4 points. They went all the way down the bench, just gave everybody a bunch of weird minutes. I don't know what to do with it. I try not to play Portland guys unless I know they're in a good matchup and they're going to be in a competitive game. Sacramento at Phoenix, 221 total here. Love this game for fantasy purposes. Phoenix only favored by 5. Good game. Good prices all around. Young players trying to figure out what they're going to do, but high total, high pace, you know, very interesting. Interesting situation for sure. Absolutely targetable in a lot of spots. So we will talk about some players in that game. And then the last game of the night, Milwaukee at LA. 210 total here. Clippers favored by 7 at home. Clippers coming off that nice win against the Jazz. You got to think they want to get another one after the Bucks beat them in their place. Beat them bad too, which was weird to me. You know, some interesting fantasy assets in this game. Not really sure, how we want to target it, but, hey, it is what it is. So that's what we got. 10 games, you know, juiciest games on the night. You absolutely really are interested. I'm interested in Minnesota, Boston. I think that's competitive. I'm interested in, of course, a couple shares. You got to have some shares of the Lakers in the Houston game. People are going to be scoring buckets there. Sacramento Phoenix is a very viable fantasy target. Milwaukee LA is interesting, but it's hard to figure out where you want to put your money there. So, you know, not sure. We'll figure it out. We're avoiding Utah, Detroit. We're avoiding Memphis, Chicago. And that's it, really. Those are the two that we're kind of avoiding. There's just no. You know, sometimes on a big slate, you want to basically process of elimination, remove some of these plays. So, you know, you need to pay attention to that kind of stuff and get rid of a couple plays. You know, think about that. Think about that. How you're going to make some pivots and some changes based on make some decisions based on the best games and the worst games and how you can eliminate certain games from your slate. It just makes decision-making easier. Sorry, that didn't make a lot of sense. All right, with that being said, let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so we are going to go through the top tier of players. We are going to sort through the studs and try to determine who we want to roster in this one. On this slate, there's some decisions to be made, my friends. Some decisions to be made. And sorting through the studs is hard. It's hard, to be honest with you. There's no stud that you're like, gotta have him. Gotta have him. Gotta have, like Westy last night. It's like, gotta have him. You like those easy decisions, right? And then you just, okay, let's figure out the rest. But like, this one is a little bit more challenging. I think there's a lot of viability in balanced lineups tonight. There's a lot of viability in, cautiously investing in your high price players. So at point guard for me, you know, we've got John Wall, we've got Chris Paul, we've got IT, we've got Dame. I don't love any of those situations for those guys, mostly because of prices and matchups. You know, John Wall paced down, Chris Paul. Milwaukee good against the point guard, and IT just better at home, obviously, but Minnesota's a pretty good team defense, and he just really hasn't had to do as much with Avery Bradley returning. Damian Lillard, don't play him against the Spurs. So it's down to Kemba for me. Kemba in a good situation. No Nick Batum. We should see a usage bump for him. We don't have a total yet in this game, but Indiana, dead middle of the pack in DVP. He's played them twice this year and three times, but twice he's had 46 points against Teague. Indy is coming off the road back-to-back. They're allowing some of the most points, rebounds, and assists to the guards on the slate. So I have no problem with Kemba and Lamb, just like we did the other night in Chicago, firing them up and asking 25 from Lamb and asking 42 from Kemba. Very reasonable numbers with no Nick Batum in the lineup. He averages 39 fantasy points when Nick Batum is out. So Kemba Walker at 8-4 going to Indiana. No problem with Kemba Walker on this slate, the way he's been playing. It's just, it feels like a solid 5X situation. At shooting guard, we've got Harden and Giannis. Now, Harden at 12K has got the Lakers. Honestly, not interested. Not interested at all. He already blew out the Lakers once this year. They beat him by 40 at one point, and he only had 48 fantasy points because he only had to play 28 minutes. And that is what you could be getting into there. Now, I think it's GPP viable. It's always GPP viable. No question about a GPP option for Harden. He is, he's James Harden. And if for some reason the Lakers start to shoot the lights out and everybody starts making threes and this game stays competitive down the stretch and he has to play in the fourth quarter, okay, then you get some good minutes and good action from James Harden, the high-scoring, highest-paced game of the night. But it just doesn't seem likely to me. The Rockets are really playing well, and this should be an easy W for them. Now, Giannis at 10-4 is more interesting, for sure, more appealing. His price is way more reasonable. You know, I think the problem is that he's going to L.A. We prefer him at home, not on the road. I like him at home. He's one of those guys that just plays better at home. You, if he's at home, you take another look. When he's on the road, you kind of say, okay, I'm okay if I don't have him. Last game against the Clippers, he had 49, all right? And that was at home. I don't know that we're going to see that number again from him. The Clippers are much better at home. They just allow less scoring, fewer assists. They force more turnovers. You know, I think the only thing that we can take heart in is that if you attack the Clippers anywhere, it is at power forward. And that's where Giannis is playing, let's be clear. It's Brogdon at the 1, Snell at the 2, Middleton at the 3. And really, Middleton's been handling the ball a lot in these sets. And they're kind of forcing their 1s down into the corners and playing kind of these, stretch 2 positions where you know, their secondary point guard. They're running the offense after the secondary break. And then Giannis at the four is like this stretch four situation, and they're letting this kind of pick and roll high-low action with, you know, Greg Monroe off Giannis, and he's kind of back cutting left-hand cuts and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's interesting from that perspective. I think, you know, Giannis is viable for sure. And it's there's as far as compared to the other studs, he's one of the cheaper ones, which you like. So I don't know. Think about it. But there's a lot of depth at shooting guard, especially in the middle tier. There's a lot there. So is 52 points viable for Giannis on the road? Yes, especially if the game stays competitive. But it feels like it's much more likely that we could get 42 out of him tonight against the Clippers. So I don't know. At small forward, it's Kawhi at 9-4. I'm not touching Jimmy against Memphis, you know, but Kawhi, his price went up even though he didn't play particularly well against the Hawks. You know, he's got a 111-point total, which is nice and high. It's a +5 total on the average for the Spurs. You know, the Portland defense just isn't any good. And he had 40 fantasy points in 31 minutes against them last time. The thing about it is that he only needed 31 minutes. And if Kawhi only gets 31 minutes because basically, you know, they can handle the Blazers pretty easily, you know, and just basically give Blazers better defense than they usually get, then he doesn't play those extra 6 minutes. And if he doesn't play those extra 6 minutes, he doesn't hit value. He stops, he caps at 40. And that's kind of what, well, that's not what we saw against the Hawks. The Hawks actually played good defense, so they stayed in that game. You know, with Aldridge back in the lineup, I think it's much more likely that, you know, the Spurs actually take it to the Blazers. So I don't love his chances now to hit value. You know, he averaged 42 without Aldridge. A lot of my notes are about why I like Kawhi without Aldridge. You know, and I think that the fact that we've got Aldridge back in the lineup and we have Vegas saying this isn't going to be a game, I don't think you have to have Kawhi. I like Kawhi, and I think that you're going to get ownership leverage from the fact that he burned people last time, and people are like, oh, I can't go back to Kawhi. He doesn't get any good minutes from Popovich. Well, yeah, I mean, it's true. And if he only gets 31 minutes, then you're screwed. That's the risk-reward with Kawhi. But if he stays close and he gets 39 minutes, he could get you 40, 50 points. It's just a question of, you know, how many minutes he gets. So, I mean, I don't have a good answer for you there because I don't know how this game is going to turn out. I do know, however, that the Blazers are not great against the Spurs and that Vegas says that this game is going to be a blowout. I trust Vegas. Power forward, it's Anthony Davis at 11-4. This is interesting. You know, I mean, it's weird that he and Boogie are switched, basically because what they really play is Davis plays the five and Boogie plays the four now. If you watched that game last night, I watched parts of it last night. Boogie's is the high and the high low. And Davis is the low in the, you know, and I don't know if anybody saw that dunk, that lob, man. Whoo, buddy. Boogie lobbed up an alley-oop to AD who just crushed. Just this 360 back. Oh my God, it was beautiful. Look it up. It was awesome. That's what we want from Boogie in the brow. You can hear the excitement in my voice. I love those both those guys. So David already scored 63 against Whiteside this year. And if you're going to attack any individual in the Miami defense, it's Whiteside. He's brutal. He's a terrible center defensively. So, I mean, he just gives up a lot of, this is a great situation for Anthony Davis. Good matchup with Whiteside. Talented centers. You know, they do take him to task. So I think, you know, the only thing that we like, we're keeping an eye on a low total here for sure. And a good Miami defensive unit. The Heat don't allow a ton of scoring, but they do allow a lot of production to the center. So, you know, they're top five in fantasy points allowed in the league. You know, I think again, the advantage that you have with Anthony Davis is the ownership leverage. Ownership leverage. A lot of people get scared off by Anthony Davis, and he could easily go for 60. This is one of my favorite GPP plays every single night. You know, I think Anthony Davis is very, very viable. At center, you've got Karl Anthony Towns, 10-8, Boston. I mean, this is kind of a dreamy situation. I was thinking the other night, I was like, I haven't rostered Cat in a while. And it's true, I haven't rostered Cat in a while. And it makes me mad because he was at a nice home stretch there, and that's when you want Cat. He's going to see the 25th ranked DVP to the center. They're implied for 102 points. Decently competitive game. Vegas says, you know, it's a single digit spread. You know, previously in one matchup against the Celtics, he had 57 points this year. You know, the minutes are secure for Cat. The competition should be here. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. The Wolves have been playing, you know, and against similarly ranked DVP teams, the Bucks and the Clippers, for example, Cat just faced them. He had 47 and 55. That's your comp, right? He had 47 against the Clippers and 50, or no, excuse me, reverse, 55 against the Bucks. No, 50, I can't remember. Anyway, 47 and 55, average of 51 points. 51 points average against these types of teams that profile similarly. That's just below 5X, right? 5X for Cat in this situation is 54 points. So, okay, 54 is nice, especially considering we have good matchup history here, and the Celtics are pretty bad against the center. They just gave up a pretty big game to Nikola Jokic, another young athletic center. He had a double-double against them. The only problem that I have with rostering Cat, and by the way, I'm sorry that all of my studs come with caveats here today. Every single one of them comes with caveats. You know, it's like AD, low total. Kawhi, he could get into a blowout situation. Giannis, oh, I don't know if he can score on the road against the Clippers. Cat, sorry. Cat is on the road. He's the road home road splits are just brutal for him. It's a 6-point difference on the season. 6 full points. So, I mean, it's like if we're expecting 54 and we only get 48, you're like, okay. That's kind of a bummer, you know? But if you get to 50, you only get to 50 and then you get 44 or whatever the case may be, that's just kind of like, that's not quite where you want to be. So it's kind of a frustrating situation. I'm not really completely sure how I want to tackle it. But we will figure it out. We will solve this. Don't worry, gang. Don't you worry your little heads. Fantasy grout. Let's move into the mid tier. Let's figure out where we want to roster guys in and around our studs. You know, 5K to 8K, more or less range. At point guard, we're going to go kind of from the top and into the bottom. Conley at 8K. You know, Mike Conley is going to have the Bulls. They're bottom five in DVP to the position. They're allowing 59 points in the last five. I don't mind Mike Conley in this situation at all. Mike Conley, friend of the podcast, always in a good position. Always, I prefer Mike Conley in the 7-6, 7-7 range, though, for salary. 40 points is like a very reasonable number for Mike Conley, to be clear. But it is like kind of his ceiling. You know, his ceiling, no, that's not true. He's had ceiling games where he had like 50, but like, and really plus DVP matchups, he does well, of course. But, you know, I think if you're spending 8K, compare that to a guy like a Kemba Walker, or you compare that to a Paul George, who are both 8K on this slate, you feel a little bit better about getting 40 points out of them than you do Mike Conley in this situation. Because Mike Conley could go for 33, and the Grizz have no problem winning. You know, that's a very, very viable thing here because it's not a pace-up situation. You're not getting extra possessions. It's not like we play in the Suns or the Lakers where they're going to get a lot of extra possessions here. The Bulls are pretty paced down. So, you know, Conley at 8K is fine. He's not perfect, but, you know, I like him. He's safe. He's got a really solid floor. So the next guy, though, is interesting. You know, I think you could go... You know, I think a lot of people are going to chase Rubio, and that's fine. Rubio, though, is also way better at home. I don't know that you need to chase Rubio, but if you're stacking him with Towns, that's absolutely viable. You know, the thing that I think we have to keep an eye on is they do not allow a lot. The Celtics. The Celtics do not allow a lot of peripherals to guards. And that's because Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley basically take over games, and they will hide Isaiah Thomas. So, like, don't be surprised if, like, somewhere down the stretch, Marcus Smart is guarding Ricky Rubio, and he takes him out of this game. You know, those guys do that. And you know, they take away peripherals. They take away assists. They force turnovers. They take away touches from guys because they're dogs, man. The guard production and against the Celtics is almost over because Avery Bradley is back, and that team defense on the perimeter is much better. So I don't know that I want to chase Ricky Rubio in Boston on the road. That said, I think you could go down to, two options. Darren Collison going to Phoenix. Really, really nice game just last time against Orlando. He didn't have a great game last game against Phoenix, but we know Phoenix is very attackable at the point guard position. Collison seems to be back in the driver's seat because all that Ty Lawson DUI stuff that it was happening. It feels like they're phasing Lawson a little bit more out of the game plan. He's just really not getting a lot of minutes because they're basically saying, we're not going to invest in an old man who's got a lawsuit on the books. You know, let's just use Collison. He hasn't had any trouble for us. So Collison is 5'7" against the Suns. I like him quite a bit as a value play. No question that he will get 30 minutes against the Suns in this situation. And then I think you also very much have Patrick Beverley in play. And I know Patrick Beverley makes people nervous, especially in a blowout. So I understand if people don't want to go to Beverley. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think, in my mind, one of the moves that you can make, one of the reasons that you go to Beverley here is because of the peripherals. Okay, Beverley had 37 previously against the Lakers this year, and when the Rockets are favored by more than 10 at home, it's these 5K guys, these Trevor Ariza's, these Patrick Beverley's. Those are the guys who perform really, really well at home when the Lakers are favored by this much. Okay, the research is there. They are, you know, they're all like plus five production on this. So, you know, I think that what's nice is that the Lakers allow, you know, some of the most steals, assists, rebounds, etc. And, you know, Bev isn't a scorer. You know, maybe you get 10 points out of him, but if you get, you know, if you get 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, then okay, you're looking at a really nice night for Pat Bev. And he usually goes overlooked. So I don't mind Patrick Beverley in this situation against, you know, Clarkson and Russell. And I don't mind Collison in this situation at all. I mean, it's just straight up DVP targeting and price targeting. You get 2 5K guys who've shown 30-point upside in excellent matchups. That's all it is. I mean, it's DVP price targeting. You know, no question. You're playing for the upside here. In value point guards, they get this many touches. No problem with those guys. No problem with them whatsoever. Okay. Now moving down into the shooting guard. There's a lot here. There's a lot here to look at. But my favorite is by far Devin Booker. Devin Booker's in my core tonight. He is getting one of the worst perimeter defenses in the league. Sacramento currently bottom three against the shooting guard. They're allowing 24 points, almost four full three-pointers per game to the position. I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but that's actually an outlier compared to a league average, which is like 2.6. You know, Booker has gotten some good minutes recently, gotten some really good production recently, 30 plus minutes. He seems to be back in that fourth quarter rotation. I really like that. You know, he's part of their youth movement. He's not going to get benched because, you know, they want him to continue to develop. So as many NBA minutes as they can, they're going to invest in Devin Booker before he gets to that end of that rookie deal, and they can figure out whether or not they want to sign him. So I don't worry about him getting, you know, sent to the bench like Eric Bledsoe, an older guy. So I like Booker quite a bit in this matchup. He's implied team implied total of 113. This is the second highest total on the night. He's priced to hit 33 points. I think that's very reasonable because he's hit 30 in his last four games at a minimum, and exceeded 33 in two of those. He had 43 against the Kings earlier this year. So let's go Booker. I also think you could go with Lou Williams or Eric Gordon. Now, the thing is that they both have a very similar range of outcomes, right? There's Lou Williams is has the narrative street bump, and I think people will play him for sure. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, this will be a thing. And you know what? If Lou Williams does the narrative street, you know, old team thing and goes off, then we'll all kind of, if you don't have him, you'll be like, and if you do have him, you'll be on Twitter and you'll be like, yeah, Lou Williams on fire. But they, Eric Gordon and Lou Williams, priced very similarly, same range of outcomes, basically north of 20 points, ceiling of 30 points more or less in this game. You know, I think it's interesting. You know, they're both on the second unit. They kind of cannibalize each other a little bit, but they're both shooting like 10 threes a game. It's insane how many attempts they have. So you love the attempts, you love the minutes, you know the role is there, and the matchup is just unbelievable. I mean, the defense is just not there for the Lakers. So, you know, one of them could get hot and they could really, really take over. I don't know who it's going to be. You know, and if unfortunately, if it's Ryan Anderson on the first unit, then they're really not going to have to shoot very much. So I think Lou Williams or Eric Gordon in play, you know, but I also, like I said, you could obviously go down to like Trevor Ariza also in play in the small forward at the exact same price point. So I don't mind these 5K Rockets at all in this situation. I think you just have to be careful and figure out who you want. All right. So, I think there's a bunch of viable pivots though. You know, Avery Bradley is really interesting. He's been getting 30 minutes here and he, you know, he's priced well. Basically, if you're asking Avery Bradley for a fantasy point per minute, I don't think that's crazy. You know, it's not a perfect matchup with Minnesota. They're a decent team defense. They don't allow a ton of production. You know, and Avery Bradley has no problem taking a back seat, so he's kind of high risk, high reward because he's really low owned, you know, and if he goes over 30, then you're in a really good position. But I think you could also go with Seth Curry. Seth Curry at 5'6". If we have no Wes Matthews, Seth Curry gets a huge usage bump. Tons of more attempts. The only issue with Seth Curry is that he's going to be facing off with Bradley Beal. And Bradley Beal and John Wall have one of the best backcourt defenses in the league. Now, they dipped a little bit on the road trip. They struggled on the road trip. But, I mean, that's just legs, man. They had two overtime games. You know, they're just struggling against Portland. They went overtime in Portland and Sacramento. They went real deep against Denver and Phoenix. You know, and they finished in Minnesota. It wasn't exactly an easy road trip for them, but, you know, they're good defensively, coming off a rest at home. I don't really love Seth Curry in that situation. I do prefer, however, his teammate at small forward, Harrison Barnes, and he's one of my mid-tier targets today. If you know Wesley Matthews, I think Harrison Barnes is really, really interesting. He is out. Barnes averages 34 fantasy points. That's pretty realistic pretty realistic for a guy who's priced at 6K. I don't really see that being a problem. 5X here. You know, we saw it against the Nets. We were hoping for more. He got to 26. But, I mean, you know, 25 to 35 is pretty much where all of the Mavericks land every single night. So you kind of have to target who has the best situation. You know, Dirk has a nice situation as well. So, I don't know. But anyway. So, you know, I think Barnes is a very interesting pivot off of Curry just because of his matchup in this situation. You know, he's going to see a mediocre kind of middle of the pack defense between Markieff Morris and Otto Porter. You know, while the Wizards are pretty strong against shooting guards and point guards, they're pretty mediocre against forwards and especially fours. You know, he had 41 against them once this year, but that was with no Dirk in the lineup. So, you know, I think he's in a decent spot to hit 5X. I don't mind Harrison Barnes in this situation. but I know he's not sexy at all. A little bit more sexy is above him. Is it Paul George? I don't mind Paul George in this situation whatsoever. You know, he struggled last night, but listen to this. Dude took 22 shots. Whoo! Love that. Love 22 shots against the Knicks. He just couldn't quite get it going in the second half. You know, good news, he's back home. He's better at home. He's been quite good against the Hornets this year. He just had a 49-point game against them. You know, stacking him and Kemba against each other is a really nice way to get yourself into some solid numbers early in the night. You know, maybe you stack them and then you target some of those late games. Come swooping in with the late hammer, kid. Anyway, so I like George in this situation because, like I said yesterday, he's been getting to 40 pretty frequently. And, you know, last night, if he just hits a three or four more shots, then he gets you that 30, he gets you to that 37, 38 range against the Knicks. And he just got cold in the second half, to be honest with you. So bounce back for George at home. He's much better at home. He's been better at home this year. And I think that I like that Batum is out. That limits the number of peripherals that the Hornets are going to be able to get, it adds upsides to George's peripherals because Batum, even though he plays the two, he's exactly George's size. He's 6'8". I mean, that's competition for rebounds. It's competitions for turnovers, stuff like that. So, you know, I like Paul George in this situation a lot. At power forward, two options. Julius Randle, of course, Julius Caesar Randle here. just to be straightforward, he's in a good spot. You know, the Rockets are a really poor rebounding team. They're very bad on the interior. You're going to see a lot of folks with some Zubac in their lineup tonight because why not target the you have two of the best center matchups on the slate. You know, two centers going head to head who are pretty terrible, two defenses going head to head that are pretty terrible against the center, the Rockets and the Lakers. So people are going to go Capella. People are going to go Zubac. No question. However, Randle is in a good position at 6'5". I think you come back to him because of Houston's inability to rebound. They're bottom five in DVP against the power forward, bottom 10 in DVP against the power forward. 33 points, very reasonable number against a team that can't really rebound. They just haven't been doing it very well. And that's how Randle gets his upside. He gets double-digit points, double-digit rebounds. He posted 35 once against them, 31 against them once this year. It's not a sexy use of $6,500, but it is a safe use of $6,500. You hope for 35 and maybe you get 40. I don't know if you will, but that's what you kind of you hope for. I never rush to roster Julius Randle. I'm not one of those people. But if he falls to me, he falls to me. The other one, though, is Willie Cauley-Stein. I really like Willie Cauley-Stein tonight. I just think the price is really strong for a great matchup, a guy who will be in a good situation and will probably get 30-plus minutes. You know, given Willie Cauley-Stein's recent production, we know that he's kind of leveled off, right? He had a couple massive games when he took over kind of at the center power forward position. A couple huge ones, you know, against Utah. And then he had a big one against Washington. And he has these like 40-point games and he has a 20-point game. Well, he's leveled off. You know, he's hit 23 and 26 in the last couple games. At 5'5", though, we know he has 30, 40-point upside if he really gets rolling. I don't see why he couldn't get rolling against Phoenix, you know. You got a high-paced game, high total, low defense. I like Willie Cauley-Stein on the interior here quite a bit at this price. Just a really nice price for a guy. You know, if I had to pick between Randle and Willie Cauley-Stein, I'll take a Willie Cauley-Stein for $1,000 cheaper and hope that they have basically the same range of outcomes. Why not? You know, and I know a lot of people who are hot on Randle say, no, I'll take Randle in his pace-up situation. But if that becomes a blowout, they don't play Julius Randle in the fourth quarter. They know who he is. They don't really play him that much. They're going to play Zubac. You know, so I don't know. At center, two options. Not my favorites. Greg Monroe and DeAndre Jordan. I don't love either of these guys. There's limited upside here for both of them. But Greg Monroe at 6K and DeAndre Jordan at 7'2", facing up against each other, basically 24 and 25 in DVP to the center. This is the more expensive version of Isaac Zubac versus Clint Capella, with less points per dollar upside, and a lot more age. And just a lot more girth. So this is the aged version of Capella versus Zubac. Monroe earned 41 points last time against DeAndre Jordan last week. He was at home. But like we always see, like he struggles to keep his starters' minutes. John Henson got bumped back into the starting role there. Now, it seems like Monroe is finishing a lot of games, but I don't really trust Jason Kidd to keep Monroe in this game. And God, if you only get bench minutes from Monroe at 6K when you could have just gone down to Clint Capella and gotten 30 minutes, it's just, you will kill yourself. And DeAndre Jordan, like, God, I love DeAndre Jordan in a lot of situations, but he is so volatile. He went for 57 points against the freaking 76ers, 20 rebounds. And here's a ridiculous stat. You ready for this? Against the Celtics last week, he had 16 free throw attempts. I'll give you one guess at how many he made. If you guessed three, you're right. 3 of 16. That's unbelievable, man. Like, hack a DeAndre is very, very alive and well. And I don't know that they're going to hack a DeAndre, but like, we like to attack the Bucks in the front court. I absolutely like to attack the Bucks in the front court. And I wish I could play Blake, but the production is really down. He's basically correlated with Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul goes production up, Blake goes production down. And that's what's been happening lately. DeAndre Jordan, he could get you 25 or he could get you 45. I just don't really see him really as a safe 5X in this situation. So I don't really see either of them as safe, but they're viable and they're GPP viable. And here's my favorite part. They're late hammers that are going to be super low owned. So if they do it and they do it well, then hey, let's go. You are green all night. That's the advantage. That's the reason you play them, is because you want a late hammer and you want a late hammer that's going to be owned under 10%. Greg Monroe, DeAndre Jordan, both owned under 10%. No question in my mind. People don't really roster these guys. They don't roster these guys because they're just kind of unsexy in that weird price tier that you're either going value or you're going stud. So I don't know. Let's go down to the bargain basement. Speaking of value, below 5K. All right, at point guard, we already talked about Darren Collison and Patrick Beverley kind of as mid-tier options, but let's go to the below 5K options here. I think, you know, you have to look at basically, it's just basically Patty Mills, okay? We already got Dejounte Murray ruled out. Nice. Tony Parker's a game time with the back. Just sit out, Tony Parker. You're old. You're an old Frenchman. Sit out and rest and hit on women. I wish I could. I would love to play Patty Mills in this situation. So I don't know if we got Patty Mills though. So we're gonna keep an eye on the Patty Mills. And so we're on Patty Mills watch, is what I'm saying here, gang. We're on Patty Mills watch, no question. We'll figure it out. We got to play him if he's in there. I think against Portland, he gets 30 minutes. Give me that. At shooting guard, hey, go back to the well, brother. We're going back to Jeremy Lamb. 4'9", definitely. He's going to get 30 minutes against a poor perimeter defense in Indiana. No question, he will be chalkity chalk chalk. But luckily, there's a little bit more variance. The price is up, right? He's not 4K like he was last time. And luckily, there's a lot of value, and there's a lot of people that maybe, you know, want to switch over to get some other guys in their lineup. So we'll see if people are on Jeremy Lamb, but I don't think 25 is out of the question for him here. So, you know, don't overthink it. The other one that's really interesting that will definitely go low owned, but is high risk, high reward, is Steph Curry 2.0, Buddy Hield. I don't mean that. Hield has just been getting a lot of production lately. 30 minutes in the last three games, 23, 26, 29 points. He's at 4-6. You know, okay, so we're asking him for what? We're asking him for 23 points here. 23 points is not crazy for a guy who gets 30 minutes in an NBA basketball game in a pace-up situation against a team that's bad. So if you need somebody down there and you're like, I love the rest of my lineup, I only have 4.6K, and you're like debating Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or Rodney Hood or Buddy Hield, go Buddy Hield. Go Buddy Hield. Pace is better. There's upside there. But don't rush out to roster Buddy Hield, guys. Please don't be like, hey, man, I was thinking about starting my cash core with Buddy Hield. What do you think? No, please don't do that. At small forward, two interesting options, Trevor Ariza and Brandon Ingram. Like them both. Ariza at 5K here. He has really nice upside in these huge home matchups where they have like a huge advantage. Ariza just like, he's a veteran. He plays well. 25 points for him is like done. Do it. Put it in the books here against the Lakers. No question in my mind that he gets you 20, 25 points here. You know, and I think that that's a safe value play. That's like a calculated value play. That's like not really a value play. He only costs you 5K. But if the difference between him and say like, okay, the difference between him and Buddy Hield, for example, like, there is just a lot more security in Trevor Ariza's talent and role than in Buddy Hield. Like, you know, and if you're considering whether or not you want to pay for Trevor Ariza or Buddy Hield, then like, know that you probably have a safer floor with Trevor Ariza. Maybe you don't have as much unknown upside and you don't have as much ownership leverage, but it's not as sexy, but it's a good play. All right. The other small forward that we have on this slate is Brandon Ingram. 30 minutes, part of the youth core. Don't love him against the Rockets, but we got a pace-up situation, and he will play. He will play the fourth quarter. They are trying to develop this guy. They're giving him as many minutes as he can handle, and even though he's kind of not doing anything interesting with them, but he continues to play garbage time. He continues to be rolled out there, even in 30-plus minutes against the Denver Nuggets. He 27 minutes. He only scores 19 points. I mean, the dude, he's frustrating for sure. Hey, by the way, don't sleep on TJ Warren, my boy, friend of the podcast, TJ Warren. Love him. I don't know if he's officially friend of the podcast yet. He's not in the Rashawn Holmes territory, to be honest with you. Anyway, power forward, scratch David Lee from the top of my list because LaMarcus Aldridge is back. But we will look at Thad Young. Priced way down. The price for Thad Young is really, really low. I wonder if it's his wrist. I got to be honest with you. He just hasn't been producing, you know, really, really has not done much at all. But hey, we can attack Charlotte at the, we can attack Charlotte at the four. You know, they're not perfect at the four. I just don't really see, I haven't seen a big ceiling from Thad Young, although I love this price. And there is meat on that bone because the man can score 30 fantasy points at 4.8. It's a pretty good price. You just haven't really seen much from him. He's not producing because Paul George is being a ball hog. Good for you, Paul George. The other one that I think is going to be on a lot of people's minds, hopefully not too many people's minds, is our boy Nemanja Bjelica. He's taking Georgie Dang's job in Minnesota, which is pretty interesting. He's basically taking his job. He's gotten 30 minutes plus in a lot of the last couple games. It's risky because he doesn't start, but he's 4-4. He's priced very reasonably. He's got massive upside because he scores a lot, you know, and he provides a lot more athleticism than Dang does. So I think you could trot out maybe some Nemanja Bjelica and hope that he gets the minutes off the bench. At 4-4, he's not going to kill you, you know, 20 points, 20 minutes. But I think what's interesting here is you got to think about what he's, you know, he may get more than that. especially if this game stays competitive down the stretch and they want Bielitsa in there. He's gotten 34, 32, 29 minutes. Now, the bottom could fall out, to be completely honest with you. The bottom could fall out, but he does do some good scoring and some good rebounding, and I think he offers more athleticism and probably a little bit more defense. So I don't mind Bielitsa at all as a nice value play. He's probably the deepest punt that I will take on this slate. Okay, now, at center, I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious here, gang, okay? It's our boy Zubac and Clint Capela, and then even Cody Zeller is in play. If you want to pivot off of those guys, because they're going to be really pretty highly owned. I think one thing I want everybody to be aware of about the, you know, the Zubac 10X game, Zubac played the entire fourth quarter and basically no one guarded him and he just kind of did whatever he wanted. He got the ball like on back-to-back-to-back-to-back possessions and just went to work against fucking Roy Hibbert. Like, he could go back to just getting 20 minutes. And now, if it's a blowout, he's going to play the fourth quarter. But I mean, if you look at the minutes trends here, like, yeah, that's a really good one game sample size of him getting 30 minutes. You know, that's absolutely in a really nice thing to see. But before that, the max, we're maxing out at like 23, 25 minutes, right? And he's basically a fantasy point per minute, but I don't really know that he's going to get 30 minutes again. And if you have the option and you want to just go up to a guy who you know is going to get 30 minutes, you absolutely are secure in those 30 minutes. You go up to someone like Cody Zeller or you go up to someone like Clint Capela. Very easy. It's just, okay, so like there's more security there. There's not as much sexy upside, but there's a little bit more security there. Now, of course, it's not crazy to think that Bielitsa is a good, or excuse me, not Bielitsa. It's not crazy to think that Zubac is a good play. Zubac is a good play. He's a very good play because he's going up against the worst defensive team against the center. One of the worst defensive teams against the center in the league. But guess who's even in a better situation? Clint Capela. He's only $400 more. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things like, you know, think about it. Your choice. Your call. Okay. So that is it for the breakdown. Let's go ahead into lineup lock where we build a cash core. Now, remember, I haven't said this in a while. Guys, I'm not a lineup provider. This is not the lineup that you should be rolling out as gospel. The best work that my listeners do is they take my advice, they make pivots, they make changes based on their own research, their own instincts and intuition. But they also take the information that I say, the logic that I've given them and say, that makes this a good play, that makes not a good play, whatever the case may be. So use it as a starting place, but make your own lineups, make your own lineups, make your own lineups. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at the core guys that we're going to roll out here, and then we'll figure out where we want to fill in around those guys. So for me, I'm locking in two shooting guards today. I feel like their situations are really solid and their prices are solid, and that's Devin Booker and Jeremy Lamb. I really like them quite a bit. And then at power forward, I'm going to go with Willie Cauley-Stein. I like him a lot in this price point. And Karl Anthony Towns at center. Those are kind of my four core guys. I think Towns is one of my safest studs on the slate. So if you want to pay up for a guy above 10K, that's where I'm doing it. That's where I'm doing it for sure. So this is a lineup that kind of it's hinging on some news, to be clear. Tinging on some news, and I think you know, if we get news that Tony Parker is out, I really like this lineup. Even if we don't get news that Tony Parker is out, I think Patty Mills is in play, and I have Patty Mills in this lineup as a value point guard. I just don't want him. You don't fade a value point guard. I talk about this a lot. Anyway, okay, so point guard one, it's Pat Bev. Point guard two, it's Patty Mills. In our core, it's Devin Booker, Jeremy Lamb, kind of just locking those guys in there. And then at small forward, this is interesting. I like this. I think this is going to be a bit of a variance play. People aren't going to be on these guys. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Nice. Small forward isn't bad today in the middle tier. It's not great, but it's not terrible. But I think that you really have some nice variance if you get those two in your lineup. That's not going to be a common pairing. So that's interesting to me. At power forward, it's Willie Cauley-Stein and Nemanja Bjelica. Yeah, it is. It is for sure. I don't mind it. And then Karl Anthony Towns at 10-8 at my center. Now, there's some easy pivot moves here that you can work out. Okay, there's some easy pivots that I want to talk about so that you guys understand. That leaves you with $500, by the way. Okay, that leaves you with $500. You can upgrade at small at shooting guard. You could upgrade at, you know, power forward. Do whatever you want with that $500. I don't care. But I also don't mind if you leave it on the table. So a couple things that you can do in this situation. So option number one, you don't like Kawhi. You think that it's going to be a blowout. Fine. Okay. Take Kawhi out. Take Patty Mills out. Go with Kemba and TJ Warren. Okay. Very, very viable. Penn, Kemba, TJ Warren. Then you got Papev and Kemba, Paul George and TJ Warren. Very, very viable situation there. And I like that quite a bit. Okay. I like that quite a bit. Now, if you are interested in getting some Rubio exposure because you want Ricky Rubio in your lineup, and you want the stack with Towns. Now, I think it's just to be clear, I think it's a little bit chasey, and I think people will chase it. I think people will. I think it's very, very juicy chase situation. And he's kind of at the top of all the projection sites, you know, very sexy little pick. But you can get off of, Beverly. Hold on, let me see. I just messed this up. I was doing it. I did it. I remember what it was. Okay, you can get off of Beverly and get to Rubio. So it's Patty Mills and Rubio. Okay. And then you stick with Kawhi. And you go to, Harrison Barnes. You can even go to Chris Middleton if you want, at 6'3", which I don't mind Chris Middleton against the Clippers, at all. He's just been trending down lately. He's kind of hit a ceiling. He had a nice game against the Clips, you know, a decent game against the Clips. That was his best game for sure. But it just, he hasn't played very well against Memphis, against Minnesota, against Indiana. Didn't really play that well. And I wonder if his role is changing because his assist numbers are going down. So I'm not sure. But anyway, that's also a possibility. And then you're on Mills, Rubio, Booker, Lamb, Kawhi, Chris Middleton, Nemanja, Bjelica, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Karl Anthony Towns. That's interesting to me as well. I like that quite a bit. I like that quite a bit because you actually end up with a late hammer in Chris Middleton, which is kind of sexy. So that's where we're at, guys. Team squad. Good luck out there. Hey, tweet me your results. Please write reviews. The reviews keep coming. I really appreciate that, guys. That's really, really, I really appreciate the reviews. It's really, really, really nice of you guys to do that for me. Questions, feel free to fire them away at me. If you're on a cold street, let's talk. If you want to DM, if you want to ask me publicly, whatever, I don't care, guys. I'm happy to talk. If I can get to you, I'll get to you. You know, dinner time's tough, but if I can get to you, I can get to you, and we'll talk. So, hey, good luck out there in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow.